So, had I been given this sermon 20 years ago, this would have been my opening slide. Boaz, a man of integrity. This is because had it been 20 years ago, I was actually starchly adversely against men. I had given up hope that a man of integrity could be found, because I, like Naomi, had found myself alone with children. My view of men was tainted. Why am I telling you that? Because as I researched what I was going to bring to you this morning, I was thrown down so many rabbit holes of what would be politically correct to say to you today about the relationship between Naomi and Boaz and Ruth, that I found myself remembering my own journey through my bereavement and, yes, shame. On the journey, I found some writers were claiming that this story is distressing due to the narrative of a young, recently widowed woman being sold off by an older, wiser woman to one of her own family so that she could be accepted by herself again. And in these writings, Boaz is seen as the dominant landlord, the dominant older man taking advantage of the younger woman. And as I found myself reading this, I was becoming more and more angry at poor little Ruth. Other writers claimed that the characters of Boaz and Ruth were showing young people how to prepare for marriage as righteous and holy people. They had produced step-by-step guides of how you can find your soulmate, how a woman should act in making herself attractive, and how a man should always know what God wants. That's a tall order. By following these five basic stages, you are bound to find the right spouse in your life. Then I came across a writer who reminded me to come back to the basics. What does the passage say about my relationship with God? Robert Martinez, an American director of liturgy, writes, Ruth's decisions and movements all take place in a socio-religious context where the honour and will of men is central. To try to reclaim her as a modern feminist ends, or to prove a point for modern living today, biblical or otherwise, is not only anachronistic, it's actually misleading. In other words, we need to acknowledge that when we are living in different times with different opinions about the roles of women and men and actually the status of marriage and who is allowed to love each other, this individual story in this particular time is a narrative from its own culture. But boy, can we learn from it. And so this is my prayer as I ask God to speak through me today, that we will see Boaz as this man of integrity who is faithful to God and to the women who unexpectedly he finds turning up at his doorstep or his bed. That we will learn more about the grace that we should show others. More about the grace that we should show ourselves in the light of his grace for us. So what is integrity? That's my slide now. I've taken the question mark out. Yes, Boaz is a man of integrity. And this is why. So integrity is crucial to fostering a healthy and fulfilling relationship. Integrity allows you to do what is right and be honest and humble at all times. Without integrity in a relationship, there is bound to be distrust and disunity. If you do not have integrity in your relationships, when you encounter challenges and difficulties in life, those relationships may fail. In previous weeks, we have heard of the heartbreak and emptiness of Naomi and Ruth, having both lost their husbands and being forced to leave their home in Moab to return to Naomi's birthplace, Bethlehem. There is a link. Remember Moab, where Naomi had been found prosperity as a young wife, was an enemy of Israel. As a young woman, she had left Bethlehem full of hope, full of pride, and in her newfound love, only to return to Bethlehem desperate and empty. Some of the people might have wanted to say, well, you made your bed. You lie in it. In the second chapter, we're introduced to Boaz. Ruth goes to Boaz's home to glean in his field. Boaz soon discovers Ruth and asks his servants who she is. Once he learns this, he tells her to stay close to the other women in the field, not to go to another field. And he told his young men not to touch her. This interaction shows how much he loved women and he valued women. So rather than the harsh justice Naomi was expecting, Boaz offered mercy and protection. And in today's chapter, chapter 3, we learn how this act of grace on Boaz's part prompts Naomi to dare to believe that both she and Ruth can be restored. Wow. If we push aside our 21st century culture just for a second and concentrate on the narrative, we can learn how deep the love Boaz has for Ruth. A love that can dissolve the sadness of everything in the past. He shows respect in putting the needs of others above his own. And he offers to help others. He is honest. He is humble. He is a man of integrity. So how does this unfold? Scene one. Who remembers Cilla Black? Do you remember that? Blind date on a Saturday night? This is what Naomi was doing. Early in the story, Naomi realised something that Ruth could not have known. She put two and two together and realised that a kinsman's obligation to marry the widow of a close relative, so that's that side, added to the obvious interest, oh yes, that Boaz had in Ruth, could be the answer to her prayers. So she set up a blind date. Firstly, she shows concern for Ruth. We must find you a home. Why must she find you a home? Because in those days, take that back, actually today, if people are on hard times, if women were on hard times, they used the only commodity they had and they fell into prostitution. And this is not what Naomi wanted for her daughter-in-law. Next, she offered counsel. She told her to fix herself up. This meant that Ruth had to remove the garments of mourning that indicated that she had finished mourning. She was available. It signified that a page was turned in her life. A new chapter could begin. Next, Naomi counselled her to make herself known to Boaz. I can almost hear her. Go on! Go and say hello! Ruth showed compliance. There was such a unique and trusting relationship here between these two women. Naomi wasn't Ruth's birth mother, but we could have been forgiven for thinking it. I will do whatever you say, Ruth tells her. Ruth trusts Naomi, even though what she could be was being asked to do could ruin her reputation and bring her shame. Where else have we heard this? Mary. When the angel appears to her and tells her that she is going to bear the saviour of the world, this could have brought about shame. But she took a risk. Interestingly, she passes this counsel on to servants at a wedding later. Whatever he says to you, do it. Scene two, the midnight meeting. And so Ruth agrees to go to a rendezvous to destination Grain Heap. Doesn't sound very romantic, does it? But this was not as ghastly as it sounds. Boaz and his workers would have been in the storehouses celebrating after bringing in their harvest. It was a yearly celebration. Hence, Naomi had directed Ruth to wash, put on perfume, get dressed in her best clothes. And in my fluffy little world, I imagined it being a scene from Disney's Cinderella, where the godmother prepares her to go to the ball. Ruth, you shall go to the ball! But there is so much more to understand in this. So much more. In verses 6 and 7, we're shown an unusual practice. Whilst we would find creeping around in the middle of the night and laying at someone's feet unusual, actually a bit naughty. Actually, I remember how hard my youth leaders had to work to keep the boys out of the girls' rooms when we went on our weekends away. So whilst we would find this unusual, there was nothing immoral or indecent about this custom in the time of the story. It was simply a woman's way of letting a man know that she was interested in marriage. I guess nowadays it's done on Facebook. And we have an unusual proposal. Even though we live in this liberated new millennium, it's still sort of traditional that a man would propose to a woman. Unless, of course, it was Thursday. Anyone propose on Thursday? Any women propose on Thursday on the leap year? No? Okay. So that it's a tradition. And when Boaz awakens from his slumber and recovers from the shock of seeing the woman in the field at the end of his bed, it doesn't stop there. He receives a proposal that reads more like a demand. Spread your garment over me. It's like saying, take me, I'm yours. It's that bold. But Ruth adds, spread the corner of your garment over me. Ruth shows modesty. She knew what she should do, but she also was showing that she wasn't prone to arriving at a man's bedside as some of the other ladies might have been. And then she said, for you are a close relative. And this indicated something more. Close relatives comes from the Hebrew gol, which means kinsman redeemer. According to Mosaic law, a kinsman had the responsibility to marry Ruth to preserve the inheritance of Elimelech, her late father-in-law. Boaz, most probably being a nephew of Elimelech and Naomi, was most definitely a kinsman. The proposal's uniqueness doesn't stop there, though. While she had the legal right to make a request, consider how unusual this was. A woman proposing to a man. A young person proposing to an older person. A field labourer proposing to a field owner. A foreigner proposing to a citizen. This young woman was breaking every single code of conduct, going where she trusted, because she trusted in Naomi's plan for her life, and made herself totally vulnerable at the feet of the person who could ultimately save her. I wonder if this is why we're told she uncovered his feet to lay down. The feet is the dirtiest part of your body. She lay at Boaz's feet to show her understanding that she knew she wasn't actually worthy of the question she was asking, but she was obeying what she should do. And so we have an unusual promise. Because after praising her for being a woman of noble character, Boaz tells Ruth, don't worry. He promises he will do all that she requested. That is, he will redeem her from the widowhood, regardless of the cost, and he will honour her virtue that he so admires. He allows her to stay with him for the night. We don't need to know what happens. That's between them. If he had sent her away, Boaz would have put her in a dangerous position. Remember, the local young farmers were out celebrating. He kept her close and he protected her. And then, in verses 12 and 13, we learn an unusual problem. Despite being attracted to Ruth, Boaz's problem was that he knew that there was another man who was legally ahead of him for Naomi's land and possessions. And one of these was Ruth. And I know that's not PC. I know it's horrible to hear about a woman being a possession. I'm one. I know. But remember, when this story was written, this is how it was. It's just like when I was a young mum, my babies laid on their fronts. So when I put my grandson on his front to lay down to go to sleep, Ellie was appalled. You can't lay him on his front. Turn him over. Things change in culture. But that's not what this is about today. Boaz's love is greater than this problem. Despite the obstacles, Boaz was determined to see Ruth cared for with dignity, even if it meant he lost her himself. But what I find really beautiful about this problem, he already knew it. He'd already checked out what he needed to do if he was going to ask Ruth to marry him. Whilst he was surprised that she got to him first, this prepared research shows us that he already loved her. And actually, he already knew her and knew the pitfalls. And so to scene three, a man on a mission. So Boaz does two things to confirm his love and intentions. Firstly, he protects her. As I've already hinted, at harvest time, prostitutes were known to go in the threshing floor and proposition the labourers, especially at the end of the harvest. Boaz did everything he could to avoid the hint of impropriety by Ruth or himself. He was honourable and wanted to protect Ruth's reputation. And secondly, he paid for her. The grain was for Naomi. It was like a down payment of her, or a promise to her mother-in-law. It said, "I understand what I've got to do." Ruth may not have understood this significance, but Naomi did. And after she saw the grain in verse 17, she knew his intentions perfectly in verse 18. Her plan had worked. So why am I telling you all this? I want to bring out four elements of love from this passage. Concern. Naomi was concerned for Ruth. "I want to find you a home," she said. Trust. Ruth trusted Naomi with her whole heart, even though it was a risk. Ruth went to Boaz. She took the risk. Boaz committed to Ruth because she had obeyed. Let's look at it again. God is concerned for us. We need to trust God. Sometimes we need to take a risk. Particularly that bit that you're holding on to in your life. I do it too. Where, I'll just keep that bit to me. I don't want to give that bit because it's too bad. It's not too bad. Because remember, Boaz, like Jesus, already knows the problem. Commitment. When we take the risk, I want you to know, God wants you to know, he is committed to you. He will not let you down. So let's look at the four elements of love again. Concern. God loves you. Trust. Are you ready to trust him with that thing? Risk. Are you ready to take a risk? Do you know, in that bit, I think that includes pride. Are you ready to let go of pride at that stage? And say, okay, I'm going to lay at your feet. Do you know, I think that bit is the time that God can speak to you. And then commitment. God's not saying you've got to get it right the whole time. He's saying, I'm committed to you. And so, do you know the best thing about doing this process? Is that Hebrews 4 verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. We have one that's been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he didn't sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and grace to find help in our time of need. We can go to the foot of Jesus. We can lay everything at his feet. Because God promises never to leave us nor forsake us, which is exactly what Boaz did, the man of integrity. He did it for Ruth. Jesus does it for us. So as we move into a time of response and as the worship group begin to play, if you feel that you would like to lay something at the foot of your Lord, just come forward. There's nothing magic about coming forward. It's just an outward sign. It's a risk. I get that. It's an outward sign that you just want to commit that thing to him. Maybe you're doing it for the first time. Maybe it's the first time. Maybe the Holy Spirit is prompting you to take a risk. Just come. Here is where I lay it down. Every burden, every crown, because this is our surrender right here at the foot of the cross. So let's just hold that. Let's listen to the music group for a little bit. Ask the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, come. There'll be people down here to pray with you if you want to come forward.